Allow me to say on behalf of Brother Nathan Reber, our General Youth President, Brother Miller, our Director of Promotions, and all of us at the General Youth Division, I want to lend my voice what has transpired over the last 30 minutes or so in giving our thanks to this district, every church and pastor, every young person and saint that sacrificed for the cause of Sheesh for Christ last year. And thank you for having a vision for the cause of the kingdom through Sheesh for Christ again this year. But it's really not so much for those of us who work at the General Youth Division that I offer thanks to you. It's really more for a little family that lives up in the mountains of Ecuador who would never have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ were it not for a vehicle that your dollars purchase. Take a missionary up to some remote village that he'd never reach otherwise and carries the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. On their behalf, I say thank you. On behalf of a family whose home doesn't know any peace in a little town somewhere in the continental United States or in Canada where there is no United Pentecostal Church, on behalf of that family, I thank you for having a vision for Sheesh for Christ that grants a home missionary funds to plant a church in that community. On behalf of some alcoholic on Skid Row somewhere that gets handed a tape from Spirit of Freedom for Fred Hyde's testimony and it turns their life around because you gave to Sheesh for Christ, he'll probably never have the chance to stand here and say thank you. So on his behalf, I'd like to say thank you. There's so many lives you touch by Sheesh for Christ, and I just want to express gratitude on their behalf to you tonight. Now God is a God of miracles. He took a little bit of bread and stretched bread and fish it out to feed a bunch of folk. If he can do that, he's going to help me take this 45-minute message and preach it in about 20 minutes. It's going to be an act of God, but we're going to trust the Lord together. Genesis chapter 32. Thank you, Brother Claiborne, Brother Smith, Brother Morton, and this entire youth committee. I offer my thanks as well to Brother Price and the district board for the privilege to stand here tonight. Genesis chapter number 32 and verse number 24. I'm going to preach fast. I'm going to preach furious, and I trust you're going to help me. Now, I know, look, Brother Jones is coming. I'm just the leadoff hitter. He's batting cleanup. I understand that. But I don't sit there and just look at me, or I'll come out there and grab you by the ears or something. We'll have church for the next 20 minutes or so, all right? Amen. Genesis chapter 32 and verse number 24, the Word of the Lord says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' Jacob answered him and said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him a most unusual question, 'What is thy name?' Now you pardon me, but it seems to me if you've been wrestling with some dude all night, you would have already established his identity. But the Lord is not asking that question. This visitor from heaven is not asking that question because he wants to know. He's asking that question to make this man face up to it. Jacob, being the bright young man that he was, he said, "My name's Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." If you read the rest of the Bible account of the life of this man that we call Jacob, you will find numerous occasions where people look at him and call him Jacob. You'll find occasions where the narrative in Scripture calls him Jacob. You will even find times where he refers to his boys as Jacob's sons. But from that moment in his life until the day he died, every time in Scripture that he names himself, he calls himself Israel. He never calls himself Jacob again after that day. It is as though he walked away from that encounter with God saying, "I can't control what they say about me. And I have no measure of control about what they think of me. But I've decided something. From now on, I am who my daddy says I am." And that's what I'm going to preach to you tonight. You can be seated in Jesus' name. I present to you a simple fact tonight. And that is that what you think of yourself will greatly influence what you do with yourself. I'll say it in English. What you think of yourself will have a large bearing on what you're able to do with yourself. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking, but I'm telling you this fact. If you think you can't pray, you will probably never try to pray. If you think you can't witness, you'll never try to witness. If you think you can't win a soul, you'll never try to win a soul. If you think you can't make it, you're half whooped already. That's why the devil spends so much time and energy trying to make you feel beat down and worthless and dirty and ugly and helpless, because he knows that if you ever wake up to who you are in Jesus Christ, there is no stopping the revival that you could unleash in your school, in your church, in your city, when you understand who you are in him. So the devil tries to heap condemnation on your head. And he tells you you're wicked. And he tells you you're weak. And he tells you you won't make it. Well, I got good news for somebody tonight. He's a liar and the father of it. If he says you can't pray, that's good news, darling. That means you could be an awesome prayer warrior for him. If he says you can't win a soul, that means there's a dozen kids in your high school that you could bring to this convention next year, because that means you could be a soul winner. If he says you can't make it, you better practice how to dance on golden streets, because that tells me you've got what it takes to make it. You must understand the significance of a name in Bible custom before this story takes on its full measure. When a baby was born in Bible times, it was considerably different than today. As a rule today, when a mother and father, young couple, get the happy word that a new baby is coming their way, they have already settled the issue of that child's name by the time he is born. No sooner is he delivered, as a rule, than they have already discussed it and they already know what that baby's name is going to be. But not so in Bible days. A young Hebrew boy would not be named until he was 8 days old, taken to the temple and circumcised. For the first 8 days of his life, he had no identity. He was just him, it. Friends and neighbors would gather around that special day and anxiously await the revelation of how the child was to be known. And the name of that child was solely at the discretion of the father. Whatever he decided to name that baby, that was the name that baby carried. Names were chosen in that day not just with what sounded trendy, not just with what was popular or what was showing up in the newspapers, but they gave names to children in that day to reflect something about that child's history, his disposition, his character, perhaps prophetically about his future or his physical appearance. And the other thing you must understand about names, and I'm trying to go quick, is that in Bible days, now our names aren't in our native tongue. As a rule, you can go get a keychain in the mall that will tell you the history of your name and where it came from and what it means back in some other language. But a Hebrew baby, his name was in their tongue. Every time that name, they named that boy's name, they were speaking in their own language. They didn't have to go back and figure out what it meant. It meant something in their tongue. Now, I'm sorry to be stereotypical here, but the best I can do to help you understand that, it's like we think about names of Native Americans. Running Elk and Flowering Meadow and Swimming Aardvark or whatever. Got all those names for Indians. And we've got these names, and it meant something in their language. Crazy Horse, that was his name in their tongue. And that's how it was in Hebrew custom. And so we come to the name, or the story of this young man named Jacob. Jacob, born the second of twin boys to Isaac and Rebekah. From the very beginning of their life, they had a unique start. His older brother was born when Esau was delivered. This is not Graham talking. The Bible says that when he was delivered, he was red all over and hairy like a garment. Unusual looking critter. When they had that boy and they showed him to Isaac and said, "What are you going to name this kid?" as if we didn't know. Isaac looked at him and said, "Not much choice for this one. His name is Red. That's what Esau means. Red. There was only one other choice. Hairy." Wasn't hard to figure. I mean, they knew what that kid's name was going to be. He's going to be Red. But the second boy born, and from the very beginning of his life, his start was unique as well. Because when his older brother was born, it was discovered that this younger boy had a hold of his brother's heel, as though he were trying to hold him back, because there was great blessing to come upon the firstborn son. And so it seemed that even as an infant, his life's course was set. "I want what you have. I want what I didn't earn. I want what belongs to you. I'm willing to use trickery to try to get what I did not rightfully earn." And so 8 days later, when Isaac got ready to name this boy, publicly he spoke his name over him. And he said, "His name is Jacob." It comes over into English as Jacob. But in their tongue, you must understand this. His name, we have a fancy word for it. It meant supplanter. Well, I rather doubt if there's a teenager in this house that used the word surplanter in your everyday vocabulary today. So let me help you. His name in their tongue meant cheater, trickster, dirty little crooked rotten kid. Now we laugh because that sounds so funny, but that was this kid's name. Can you imagine this boy growing up in the backyard playing wiffle ball with his buddies? His mom comes to the back door, opens the screen door. Hey, cheater, time to come in for supper. The other little kids kind of look at him and laugh. Can you imagine that poor kid in school? Second grade, learn multiplication tables. Susie, what's 2 times 2? 4, teacher. Billy, what's 2 times 3? 6. Hey, dirty little crooked cheater, what's 2 times 4? 8. Imagine that poor kid at youth camp calling out the name of the all-star team for softball. Batting first, playing second base. Leadoff hitter Rufus Schwartz, and all the girls go, oh. Batting second, playing center field. Dirty little cheater. And all the kids at the youth camp laughed, and behind his back they whispered and pointed fingers and said, yeah, you know who he is. You know what his reputation is, don't you? Don't ever buy a used chariot from him. He's crooked as they come. Now we laugh at it. It's kind of funny, and I'm making it humorous for you, but you understand something. This kid lived underneath the specter of what he was known by. He had a reputation hanging on his head that he wasn't very happy about. Until came that fateful day at the Brook Jabbok when the Lord wrestled with him and Jacob said, bless me. And the Lord said, what's your name? He said, I don't want to talk about that. I want a blessing. I don't know what Jacob thought he was going to get. Maybe it was going to be camels. Maybe God's going to give him sheep. But the Lord says, what's your name? He said, I'd rather not talk about it. I'm a little embarrassed about my background. I'm a little humiliated by the reputation that hangs on my head. He said, what's your name? He said, I'm a cheater. I'm a trickster. I'm crooked. I'm Jacob. And the Lord said, well, brace yourself, Bubba. I got a blessing for you you didn't anticipate. When you walk away from this encounter with God, you're going to have a different name hanging on your head. You're not going to be what you were. You're not going back to how you used to live. But when you leave this place tonight, you're going to be a prince that has power with God. And old Israel walked away saying, I am who my daddy says. I don't care what you call me. I know what he calls me. I'm Israel. I'm Israel. I'm Israel. And some of you have come to this youth convention and you've carried a name for a long time. There's been something hanging on your head. He's a troublemaker. She struggles living for God. He's got a bad attitude. She's from the wrong family. He's up one day and down the next. She can't hold on to what God gives him. And you came struggling, stumbling into this youth convention, and for the last couple days you've been saying, bless me, bless me, bless me. I got a word from God for somebody. The Lord's telling you, you better batten down the hatches. He's got a blessing for you you never anticipated. You're going to walk out of this place with a different name hanging on your head. You know what? He's going to call some of you soul winners, prayer warriors, worshipers, friends to your pastor. And I don't care what you used to be. I don't care what they thought of you when you came. Just go dancing out of this place saying, I am what Daddy says. I am what Daddy says. If Daddy says I'm a soul winner, I'm a soul winner. The Lord's telling somebody tonight, not going to call you lukewarm anymore. Not going to call you half-hearted anymore. Not going to call you carnal anymore. Not going to call you back row Christian anymore. Going to call you worshiper, praise leaders. Got a different name. I'm trying to hurry. I want you to imagine old Israel after that day. Be seated just a minute. I want you to understand how Israel had to live after that day. See him walking down the sidewalk in his town, strolling along, and one of his buddies, it wasn't at youth convention, sees him. Hey, cheater! How you doing? Who you been ripping off lately? Old Israel doesn't even give him the courtesy of a look-see. Just kind of keeps walking. His buddy comes running up, taps him on the shoulder, and said, "Hey, I'm talking to you. I called you by name. Didn't you hear me? I used your name, trickster, deceiver, crooked little cheater. I called your name. Didn't you hear me?" And I see old Israel grin at him and say, "You must not have been notified. That's not my name anymore. If you want my attention now, you can call me the prince. I'm different." I see his buddy look at him and say, "You, a prince? I know who you are. You deceived your father. You tricked your brother. You fooled your father-in-law. That's who you are. That's who you were. That's who you'll always be." I see old Israel say, "Nope, it's who I was, but it's not who I am, and it's not who I will be tomorrow. I got a different name." "What do you mean you got a different name? You don't have any authority to change your name." Old Israel said, "Didn't have to. Ran into Daddy down by the brook the other day. And Daddy said, 'You've been carrying it too long, son. I'm going to change it for you.'" Yeah. Oh, I know. I know. When you get back Sunday morning, there'll be some dingbat didn't come to youth convention. There'll be some carnal jerk in your youth group sitting down on the end of the pew, can't even decide if he wants to go to heaven or not. Trying to set the spiritual climate for our youth group. And he's going to call you by your old name. The enemy will be waiting on you. "Hey, carnal, half backslid, lukewarm young person, what worldly magazine you been reading lately? I dare you. Walk on by." That rascal comes up and taps you on the shoulder and says, "I called you by name. Didn't you hear me? Carnal, lukewarm, half-hearted, half-backslidden young person. That's you. I wish you'd square your shoulders Sunday morning, start shouting in the song service, and say, 'Oh, no, that's who I was, but it's not who I am anymore. I got a different name. Call me a red hot, aisle running, devil chasing, apostolic.'" And the devil say, "You, not you. I know you. You wore clothes that weren't godly. You criticized your pastor. You went over to your buddy's house to watch HBO. I know who you are. You're a carnal, half-backslid young person. I wish you'd tell him I ain't proud of it. That is who I used to be. But I'm mighty glad about something tonight. I'm not what I was. I got a different name on my head. You better call me something different if you want my attention." You can't change your name. Didn't have to. Went to Bakersfield. Daddy showed up. And Daddy said, "That's enough of the devil beating you up over what you used to be." And he took my name off my head. And he put a new name on me. And I've decided, I am who my daddy says I am. I don't care what I used to be. I am who my daddy says I am. I don't care what you think of me. I am who my daddy says I am. I'm going to try to hurry. Oh, Lord, better do that miracle quick. Well, the question is, if that's the case, who does Daddy say we are? I found the answer in the book, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Ye are a chosen generation. Honey, we ain't boomers. We ain't busters. We aren't millennials. I don't care what the sociologists call us. I know what Daddy said. And he said, "This is a generation upon whom the ends of the world are come. And I choose you to bring revival at the end time." chosen. That's my name. I'm not embarrassed to stand up in my school and say, I've got the answer because Daddy gave me a name. You're chosen. You're a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You know what priests do, don't you? They offer sacrifices. I believe the young people of this hour are being named by their daddy and ordained of God to be the leaders in worship in your church. Well, I ain't much scared of you, because I'm leaving in the morning before any of you will be awake. So let me just tell you something. You ought to be ashamed of yourself if you act like this right here and then sit on the pew on Sunday morning and stare at your pastor. You got a new name when you go home Sunday. You're a royal priesthood ordained of God to lead your church in worship. And I don't care what the critics say. I don't care what that kid on the end of the row says. I'm going to get on my feet on Sunday morning and I'm going to magnify the name of Jesus because I got a new name. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You are an holy nation. Oh no. You ain't getting by with that cheap of a reaction on that one. I'm not going to beat you up. I said it's a new name Daddy gave us, and I'm just as excited about being holy as I am about being a worshiper. In a world full of wickedness, Daddy says, I got a different name for you. You're separate. You're clean. You're holy. Thank God for it. I'm going to be sweet, but you listen to me. If you see somebody walking down the sidewalk in your city, you tell me how you gauge their nationality. How they look, what they wear, how they sound. I pray to God the kids in your high school can look at what you look like, see what you wear, listen to how you sound, and they don't have to wonder what nation you're in. You're able to testify, I'm part of a holy nation, because that's the name my daddy gave me. Tired of the devil making you feel mistreated and shortchanged. When one of them dingbat kids in your high school looks at you beautiful young ladies, your godly dresses, why don't you ever wear blue jeans? Why don't you just look at them and tell them, they don't sell them in my nation. What nation do you come from? I come from a holy nation. And I am who Daddy says. I got news for you. You listen to me. There's some music they don't sell in my nation. Some magazines are not delivered to my nation. There's some websites you can't access from my nation. I'm part of a holy nation. Dare I tell you? I'm going to smile and be sweet. Titanic didn't play in my nation. It never opened up in my nation. And it didn't open up in my living room either. I'm just telling you, you ought to be glad that Daddy put a name on your head and said you're not like the rest of them. You're holy. I'm fine, man. And I got one more. He said, not only, oh man, not only are you a royal priesthood, not only are you a holy nation, not only are you a chosen generation, but you are a peculiar people. Now, darling, that word does not mean weird. It doesn't mean out of date. It doesn't mean old-fashioned. What it means is when the Lord looks at this gathering, He says, they're so special to me, I'll fight for them. Listen. There's a 4-year-old blonde-headed girl back in St. Louis, Missouri. She's got my name on her. Her name's Jessica Graham. And I don't know who's the biggest guy in this room, but if you were to come running up and snatch that girl up in your arms and try to leave this place, you and me going to do business. And when we get done, ain't but one of us going to be standing, and it's going to be Daddy with that baby in his arms, saying, you're mine, and ain't nobody going to take you away from me. Because you've got my name on you. Well, you listen to this. You want to know where the word peculiar comes from? They started by using it to designate the treasure that a pharaoh would put in the tomb with him. That treasure would never belong to anybody else. Why? Because it had been buried with the king. You want to know why you're peculiar? No Father, Son, and Holy Ghost stuff in here, Bubba. You were buried with the King of Kings in Jesus' name. You got a name on your head, and nothing shall separate you from the love of God. I am who Daddy says. I am who Daddy says. I am who Daddy says. You ready? So I got a question to ask everybody in this place. When the devil says you'll never make it, but the Lord says I'm already building you a place on the other side, I want to know something. Sing.
Whose report will you believe? We shall believe. The report of the Lord.
Something.
Will you believe?